Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
And now, Hangar 56 Media presents Spike's Car Radio, a downloadable cars and coffee, hosted by writer, comedian, and automotive enthusiast, Spike Ferriston. Now, here's Spike.
Zuckerman, some Back in Black for you. This is what you wanted. Your mic is up. You can talk. Okay. We have some Back in Black playing here. This is what you listen to when you're driving around?
No, but when I was a kid, I certainly did that in, like, Highway to Hell. Then there was some Judas Priest crap. And
there we go. Priest is... I still like Priest.
It was shocking when he came out of the closet.
Really?
You didn't think that was shocking?
He had a song called Hell Bent for Leather. I mean, no, I was the least shocking thing that's ever happened.
Judas Priest? Rob Halford. Is a guy?
Rob Halford, the singer. Yeah.
You know, that was it was a little bit of a shock when we found this out.
I was not shocked.
I remember.
You're more attuned to this.
Hell Bent for Leather. I mean, what?
Well, did you guys ever think Led Zeppelin was a guy? I did, just when I was little.
No.
I thought his name was Led.
No, but my dad told me early on what the name meant.
What does it mean?
It's just, you know, who was it? It was like Jimmy Page told somebody that he's going to form a band with these session musicians and this young guy, Robert Plant. Uh-huh. And whoever he was telling says, oh, it's going to go down like a Led balloon or a Led Zeppelin.
Led Zeppelin, yeah.
Yeah, and then they dropped the A for some reason.
Because they're cool.
I mean,
they're cool, man.
Well, I guess you could think it was Led Zeppelin, you know, so it's got to be Led.
Yeah, that's right. We'll just remove the A. It'll be Led.
All right, we're boring Zuckerman over here.
So much of the musician shtick is really stupid. It is why I left Berklee College of Music. I was just looking around and go, I can't be around this. I can't be a part of this. But I love music so much, but I just, that stuff, the outfits... The low-slung Robert Plant pants and the bell-bottoms. I always wondered, like, yeah, I know you can look like that when you're on stage, but when you're walking around in real life in the supermarket or you're in the gym, you're going to look ridiculous.
That's the problem.
That's the problem.
Like you've seen those little TikToks of, like, goth guys going to Burger King. You know? It's like, you got to live your life.
Yeah, I couldn't keep up the persona.
Right.
Right? Even the tough guy persona is, how do you keep that going?
I don't know.
And I would see that Nine Inch Nails guy. I'd see him in the Equinox,
Reznor,
West Hollywood.
Yeah.
And he, you know, it was like, and he'd walk in and he'd have black shirt, black shorts with black socks and black shoes and black hair.
To work out.
And you're like,
at least he didn't have starch on his face.
I would say it's not working. It's not working. You're trying to look like a rocker, but you should really just work out here and not care about it.
Yeah, one of my buddies was in this band called Razzmatazz, which was like at the tail end of Poison, like right, like a week before Nirvana killed. Yeah,
that was the play before, I was in. I was talking about last week, Razzmatazz.
Yeah, a week before, like Nirvana killed glam rock dead, but like he was committed. He had to have the long hair and like the spandex outfits.
And then you get the group in the Big Lebowski, the nihilists ordering apple pancakes, right? Because that's the send up.
Yeah.
Right? Like these people, they're so hard, but they want apple pancakes.
No, lingonberry.
Yeah, lingonberry pancakes.
Anyway, Lieberman.
Yes.
We have a lot to talk. You're like our guest today. We have a lot to talk to you about. You came in a Rivian, but you were also just up at Pike's Peak.
And we're going back tomorrow.
Wow. All right. Well, why don't we start there? What was going up at Pike? Going on there? You were.
Yeah. So the
what? What were you doing?
I was practicing.
Practicing. And what does that mean?
Well,
because I couldn't follow it. So right. Are you up there?
Okay.
For like the day?
Three days.
3 full days?
No. Well, okay. So.
Do you understand the question, though?
I get the question. Can I answer you?
No, you're jumping in a lot. Here's the question. Can you just lay out in a simple way? Because sometimes you talk to us like we know already more than we think we know.
Okay.
We don't know anything.
All right. You ready?
I know we basically, Zuckerman knows the exact layout of the track, I think, better than anybody. The listeners just want to know, you're up there for the full day.
No.
Okay.
Okay.
Take us through in a simple way.
Okay. It's a public road. You pay $15 to go to the top.
Wow. Okay. I didn't know that.
Over 500,000 people drive to the top of Pikes Peak a year. That's a lot of revenue. So they don't want to shut that revenue stream down. So your practice days are you get to the Porsche dealer at 3 a.m. You leave at 3:15. You get to the gate at Pikes Peak, the toll plaza, at about 3:40 in the morning. At 4, they let you start rolling in. You get your pit set up by 4:30. Cars,
you're popping a lot of peas. Just lower that mic there.
Cars come out.
But can I ask you a question? When you say cars, is it like anybody's can drive their car up there, or is it all racers?
It's all racers. Everybody who signed up for the practice weekend.
So the $15. That's for the day or for every run?
$15 is at 9 a.m. if the Ferristines want to drive to the top of Pikes Peak.
In a race car?
No, in your streetcar. I paid $3,000 for the weekend to practice.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what a lot of the sponsorship money went to.
Okay.
4:45 a.m., you start getting dressed in your race suit, driver's meeting around then. By 5, you're strapped in your race car.
Can I ask you what is going on in this driver's meeting?
Oh, they say stuff like there's bowling ball sized boulders we saw this morning up at mile 16. Also, they released 15 bears into the park this season, so keep your eyes out for that. And Joey saw a moose, you know. And
you're
then,
serious? Did they say those things to you?
That was the first driver's meeting. Yeah.
And where did you ask where the bears came from why and who? How did they get traveled up there?
Is this part of the race?
I should also say,
if you hit a bear, you get extra points.
No, you get no points. But I should also say,
ask you if you were a bear?
Yes. And at 90, the first day we ran the bottom third. You only break the mountain up into thirds. You only run the whole thing on race day itself. So you never get to practice the entire run.
Now, why is that?
It's just you couldn't do it. It would just take too long. And so
wait, what would take too long? It's obviously it's 15 miles. It doesn't take too
12
long.
Miles.
It's 12, but it doesn't take too long. You mean it's too long
because
to learn?
No, it would because let's say there's 40 people practicing. So you'd send one car, you'd wait 2 minutes. You'd send another car, you'd wait 2 minutes 40 times. So to do the whole thing, you'd get very few runs in before we're off the mountain they shut you down at 8:30 and you're packed up and leaving, going down past the tourists going up at 9 a.m. So it's a very intensive thing. So you do, I got 5 runs of the bottom section on the first morning. 6 of the middle on the second, and then 6 of the third on the last day of the upper section.
And there's no one in the car with you?
No, there's no one.
So Zort is there. How is he there in an advisory way if he can't see you for the entire section, right? Or is he just saying, here's what I think? Or are you guys looking at track maps?
There's no maps. Zwart is the coach for the class, and he's also practicing with his own car. So he had his 935 there. You know, he'll give you some advice, like on this one, look out for this. We'll look, you know, the apex is late. It's at that rock.
So he knows all the turns in 12 miles.
Yeah. And this is his 21st year running it. And he's won several times.
Is it mostly straight?
No, it's 156 corners in 12 miles.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of information being relayed to you. How do you learn 156 corners?
Oh, it takes a long time. I mean, I learned it on a simulator. But what also happens, so we're done at 9, and then like at 10, We get into, Jeff had a Taycan that Porsche gave him, and like three of us get in with him, and we drive slowly up at tourist pace, and he just points stuff out for the next day. So like we ran the bottom section, and then after that we got a tour of the middle section, and he's like, you know, here's what I do. You want to be in this gear, probably look out for this. There's water that flows over the road right here.
He knows every turn.
Oh, yeah. Not only does he know every turn, he's like, that pile of rocks sitting in the drainage ditch, that's been there for 4 years, so you can count on that still being there. And, like, that's your apex, which you can't look at while you're driving. You just have to sort of know how to get to it. It's insane.
You know, when Chris Harris said and wished you well and said, you know, he's got to be careful up there. There can be ice. Have you seen that stuff? Is he right?
We had wonderful weather, but I mean, at one point in the middle section, and again, the elevation is so extreme that your brain is like, it's like up at the top, it's like you're constantly, you know, you wake up from a dream and there's like an image that just leaps out of your head and you want to reach it, but it's gone.
No.
Like,
no, that's called schizophrenia, but go ahead. But anyway,
yeah, we don't know that.
We don't know this.
You can't really hold thoughts. It's crazy because it's just such severe elevation.
Ours hold thoughts just fine, but.
Okay. No, you not can't, at 14,000 feet.
I see. Leaking like a sieve.
So what is the goal here?
The goal is
to finish. Are there that many crashes in reality?
No,
it doesn't seem like there are.
Well, I mean, look, there will be crashes on race day. We had a very clean practice session.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going back for the second practice session where things tend to get, you know, turned up hotter and hotter.
When is that? Tomorrow?
I leave tomorrow, the first one, so it's Sunday. The first one's on Tuesday. We have a.
And so what is considered a win here? The best time in your class?
Well, I mean, Travis Pastrana did a 10:34. I will be nowhere near that.
How many different classes? I was looking at the lineup and I couldn't quite figure it out.
Six different classes.
And you're in the.
I'm in the Porsche 718 Cayman GT4 Club Sport Cup presented by Yokohama class.
Okay, yeah. And there are six cars.
There's three rookies. The sad part for me is one of the rookies. She is killing me. She also, her last name happens to be Unser.
Really,
Lonnie Unser. She's really good. She's really, you know, her family first ran up Pikes Peak in 1926, and she's really, it's really humbling. She's just going for it. You know what I mean? Like I'm like. Trying to self-preservation.
Is she a young Unser or an old
Unser?
Yeah,
she's probably mid-20s.
Really?
Yeah, but she's a pro racer. Yeah,
and she's clocking you.
Yeah, she's the granddaughter of Al Sr., I believe. She couldn't even be great-granddaughter. I got to look it up.
Wow.
But yeah, you know, for me is finishing. And everyone's... So what Zwartz stressed was what he wants to see is every session you go quicker than the one you did before.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that for every single run. So every single run I did, no matter the section, I was quicker than the run before. So that was good. And then a guy from Porsche Motorsports North America, Eric Skirman, said, hey, I looked at your times. And that's what you know, we can analyze the times. He's like, you are where the people in your class who aren't rookies, you're where they were when they were rookies. So I'm running okay. But the goal is to finish.
How do you think you're going to do?
I think I'll finish.
Do you think you're going to place?
Well, I mean, I'll be one out of six. I don't think I'll podium. I think
how is the head being received, the Zuckerman head?
Oh, it's legendary. Everyone loves it.
Yeah.
It's great.
Is there a crowd there? Is there an audience there?
Huge crowd. There's a thing called Fan Fest Friday night before the race. Mm-hmm. And I've got 250 Zuckerman Head stickers that were mailed to the Porsche Colorado Springs that we're going to give out at Fan Fest.
Do you wear your race outfit for Fan Fest?
I don't think so.
Why not? It's got the hat on it.
My race outfit's really uncomfortable. It's like I screwed up and I got an Italian one, so I gave him my measurement. I look like a blue sausage. It's awful.
By the way, Scott Dixon reached out to me and said he would like a Zuckerman head for his helmet.
I mean,
racing this summer.
So. I think if he wins the Indy 500 wearing Zuckerman head.
That's hilarious.
We've arrived, boys.
I said Johnny's got exclusive rights until this race, and then we'll talk to you, race boy. boy.
Yeah.
But first, it's Johnny. You know, we all love the internet, right? We love it so much. We knowingly take risks every day while doing little to protect ourselves online. You should see Lieberman's history. We do this because most security tools are complicated, expensive, or just plain bad. It's easier to use the same password over and over again or to convince yourselves that no one would ever want to hack our email addresses. Well, we're excited to tell you about our new sponsor, Aura. Aura is a digital safety service built for modern threats. It's an all-in-one solution that monitors and protects your identity, finances, and devices, and more from digital misfits like the ones that hacked Zuckerman. Remember that, Zuckerman?
Oh, boy. Alpha Cat.
What does Alpha Cat mean?
Alpha Cat was the hacker mafia that tried to hack
me. And you're just giving them a plug. Look at that.
They've been put out of business by the NSA.
Yeah, and they have a new
they're
name.
They're gone.
send them a Zuckerman sticker.
Yeah. Delta Dog is our new. It's not, they never go out of business, Zuckerman. They just move on. Aura is on a mission to keep the creator safer internet. And for Aura, that not only means creating the best security tools, it means making it so easy that you can actually use it, easily keep your passwords safe and secure, like automatically updating vulnerable passwords on select sites. Keep your connection private on public Wi-Fi with one-click encryption. Now, for a limited time, Aura is offering our listeners a 14-day trial plus a check of your data to see if you have already been part of a data breach, all for free. When you visit Aura, aura.com/spike911, go to aura.com/spike911, sign up for a 14-day free trial, plus see if you've already been part of a data breach. That's aura.com/spike911. Certain terms apply. See site for details. Aura, the new standard in digital safety.
Strange name.
Aura.
A-U-R-A. I can see your aura, Zuckerman.
It's black.
Yes. Can you see my chakras? My
comments is always like
your third eye.
Your old lady comments.
That's a strange name. Why would you name it that? Why would you name it? Why are you driving up a mountain, Johnny? Just sit there and look at it. Why do you got to drive it?
I kind of agree with your Jewish mother voice there. I have no idea why I'm doing this, but...
Well, why does anybody do anything?
Because it's there.
Jerry, it's fun. It's like exciting.
Jerry's something theory, he says it all the time, and I'm finally believing him. It's because we're all just bored. These are all time-killing things. We're just looking for different ways to kill time. This.
This, definitely.
And the folks listening, we're right? You're nodding right now. We're all just killing time together. I don't know if you guys got sent this clip of the Land Rover Defender catching an edge on the highway and rolling. It was sent to me 1,000 times. Did you see it?
Of course.
It rolled 1,000 times.
I counted last night. It's 9 or 10. It goes so fast. Man. There's an Instagram, and I'll post it if you guys haven't seen it. There's an Instagram site that I follow, or whatever you say, account, called After the Land Rover Experience, that had an exclusive that no one paid attention to. And here is their post. I got to chat with the lady who was in the vehicle with her boyfriend.
Holy shit, she lived?
Incredible that they were able to walk away from this one.
Yeah.
Be safe out there and remember, it's not just how you drive. You have to constantly watch people around you.
They went over the K-rail.
What happened? I mean, the car's in the far right lane. It goes and it... seems something happened.
Sharp left to 9 o'clock. Over the K rail, flying.
Well, it looks like they were not paying attention, and he tried to correct left, and then just rolled the car, and it rolls across 5 lanes of highway and over this.
Over the K rail, over K-rail, the divider,
whatever that is.
And it's supposed to make you keep you from doing that.
Keep you, but they're so tall.
Yeah,
but I mean, look,
but the speed with which it happened, and I only bring it up because I said I think that it would have been cool to roll a few weeks ago. I saw that and I went, I don't want to do that.
Like modern cars with a seatbelt and side curtain airbags, you walk away from accidents like that.
I was stunned. Yeah.
Most of the time. More often than not, more than you would in a Packard Caribbean, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But did you see this rally, and I can't tell what kind of Porsche that was. It was on a rally through the Midwest.
That was 140
mile an hour crash
Yeah.
on a public road.
I mean, you know how you identified it as a Porsche? The wheel hubs.
That was it, but I can't tell you what kind.
It was a turbo. It was a 911 turbo.
Yeah, it was a turbo.
I can only tell by the wheel. I mean, that was the only thing left. No, it was crazy.
And they were racing, and how did the driver not have his seatbelt on? Because he was ejected.
That's the thing.
How did he not have a roll bar?
Wait, getting back to the Defender, though, you roll like that, Zuckerman. What happens to your brains? What level of mashed potato do you get?
Your brain is smashing inside your skull. They would refer to that as coup contra coup. And then all sorts of stuff inside is shearing. All of your neurons, there's axonal shearing. There's all sorts of shearing of the connections going on in there.
So wait, you mean your brain connected to your skull?
Imagine little microwires, little pathways that are in your brain, and those connections are being sheared by the forces of getting smacked back and forth, much like a football player or a boxer. Because the brain is traveling, it's accelerating, it then hits the inside of the skull and it's whipping back and forth. Your gelatinous brain is being pummeled inside your skull.
That doesn't sound good.
So those people rolling, they may have survived, but
they could suffer a traumatic brain injury from the forces exerted. And when connections inside your brain are cut, they don't grow back. That's the problem with the brain. It's not like a bone. If you were like you being a bonehead, maybe your bones would connect. Maybe your brain inside your head being a bone.
Being a bonehead,
then it would heal. But no, regular brains don't heal.
So this would be like scallop potatoes. They're still delicious. They're still good working.
I think you're holding out for the metaphor.
It's okay. It's whipped. Yeah. Whipped potatoes.
No, mashed potatoes is the worst potatoes you can have, right?
Swiss cheese is bad.
Swiss cheese.
Holes in your brain is bad for your sin.
But if we're... So the potato scale, the best brain you have is a potato, a healthy potato, uncooked.
A baked potato.
Right.
That's right.
I got French
fries. Or a nice hunk of cheese, because you don't want holes.
But mashed potatoes, you're gone. You're right. You're dribbling in on your shirt, and you're not. You know, you're parked in front of a TV.
Like a potted plant.
You're just a potted plant. Right.
Wheel them out in the sun.
Right.
Wheel them back in.
Yes. What is the raw potato with the little eyes and things growing out of it?
Well, that's just it got born bad, because we have a lot of those.
I was born bad.
When your muffin doesn't get cooked right.
Curly fries.
Yeah.
That should have been the name of that song. Born bad. Dun, 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 dun. Yeah. And we got more.
But that's real quick, though. I'm shocked that was only 10 times rolling, because like the record still isn't from that Bond movie. Is that
I may be wrong. I tried to count. Okay. It was going fast. I wasn't able to vary speed it. But
because the world record in the Guinness book is 14 rolls that they launched that Aston Martin like off a like an explosive ramp to get it to go 14. That was crazy.
You know what I love?
No.
I love Bob's watches. And I'm wearing Bob's watches most of the time. I meant to wear their gold Daytona that they gave me. Do you see that gold Daytona I've been wearing? Holy moly.
Yes.
Bob's is the most trusted destination to buy or sell 100% authentic luxury pre-owned watches. When I wear that watch, I count the seconds until the person who I'm meeting with comments on it.
Right. Oh, yeah, it's that baller.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It just, it's provocative and people open their mouths. It's one of the few watches I've worn that they've actually, people go, oh my God, what is that? Some like it, some don't. Yellow gold, wow. Ostentatious, but beautiful. But you want to get noticed, you get this watch.
Sure.
This yellow gold Daytona with the Paul Newman dial with the black subdials. Wow.
Yeah.
What a presentation. And if you're a young man of means, or even an old man of means like Zuckerman, and you're looking for ladies, then, well, that would be the watch. I'm going to tell you something. I don't think the ladies will like it, but they're going to notice you, and they're going to probably go,
this guy's got dough.
This guy's a successful man.
This is the kind of guy that can buy that
He was
watch.
Able to do something to get that watch, so maybe he could be a suitable partner.
Right.
If you're a woman, you could wear it, and you're just going to attract really creepy men who are poor.
The three of us.
Anyway, shop vintage, contemporary pieces from Rolex, Tudor, Omega, Breitling, Cartier, Patek, and more. Explore thousands of models available now at bobswatches.com or go to bobswatches.com/spike and see my personal choices. I put them up there. You can buy a watch, and I wonder if I must make some money from that.
What would that watch set you back?
I don't know. I thought I remembered it being 50, but then I think I remember going back and it was 90.
I was gonna say, because a steel Daytona Panda is like over 50, so yeah, 90.
Not anymore.
They have overnight delivery and free shipping included, but I don't know. I haven't checked prices in the last.
It's a 90,000. You get it overnight.
That's very kind.
Excuse me.
Very kind.
No, but the with markets collapsing right now and stock markets collapsing and property values going down, I think cars and watches are trending down. I've not had a moment to Google things and look at them. I'll probably do it tonight, as we all like to do. We go on the hunt and we check prices and we see. But I've been hearing anecdotally, at least, that here and there, even Zuckerman, I just got this for sticker. I just got one for sticker.
Interesting.
And I would bet the pre-owned market is returning to earth, not collapsing, but returning to earth.
Because a lot of people have given back their imaginary money in the stock market, crypto money.
Did you see Robert Reich?
Yes.
Did you see Robert Reich, the word he used?
And yes, he said it. Ponzi scheme.
Ponzi scheme. A digital Ponzi scheme.
Yes.
Look at Lieberman. I said it to you, and you didn't even react to it.
Well, I mean, a Ponzi scheme implies there's a beneficiary at the top.
Yes, there were.
There are quite
the
a
people
few.
Who created it. They're the ones, the guys who started it. They're the ones who benefit.
Yeah.
How's the NFT market right now?
It's a great time to buy.
I mean, there's certain things that when I can't understand it, I tend to think it's a bad idea. You can't explain things to me.
It was a brilliant digital Ponzi scheme. It was brilliant. It really was. You start this thing, you sell this nothing, and then you benefit from it, and then you sell it when it's at its height. It's brilliant.
Okay, so then I can just come and say, I'm going to make sand dollars a currency again.
When they got to Squid Game dollars,
that's
when I knew for sure this thing was done. This goose was
cooked. I mean, I would say all the little meme coins, they were obviously silly from the beginning, but Bitcoin itself, look, if you bought a dollar's worth of Bitcoin, it's still worth $19,000.
Yeah, today.
After the crash, yeah.
But where was it before?
Oh, it got as high as 69,000.
If I were to believe in any of it, I would say yes.
Yeah,
Ethereum
Bitcoin.
And Bitcoin, sure.
Yeah. I don't even know about Ethereum, but Bitcoin is...
But you still need to turn the Bitcoin into something called real money to buy real things.
Sure.
For the most part.
Yeah. But
that's the problem, is that you can't buy shit with it.
All right, let's talk about cars.
Cars.
The Defender is almost done. Anthony Lehner at Exotic Car is international. What does he call his company? Exotic Car...
I have no clue.
Anthony Lehner.
Or just Anthony Lehner.
He's done a great job. He's tracked down all the parts.
Nice.
Was it
18,000 again?
18, 20 grand worth.
Hey, what's the difference?
I don't care.
Are you getting a kickback?
Huh? No. Why would you even use a word like that?
I don't know.
I don't even know what a kickback is.
I don't know, but it sounds bad.
Did I have an opportunity, aside from the fake neck brace, to make some money here? I don't know how things work.
You don't look so good, though. Sure you don't need a doctor?
Yeah. This is what's going on in personal injury.
He's a little limpy.
He needs surgery on his brain, his throat, his brain.
His duodenum.
As I head into the second year of my lease, and the accident, I'm thinking about what you just drove here.
That's what I want to hear.
You have a brand new Rivian here that you just bought. And here it is. It's right before us.
You're looking at it.
Very good looking.
And it's
Thank you.
It's a very interesting exterior design, because on the street, it looks small. In here, it looks giant.
Yeah.
In photographs, it's kind of in the middle.
I'm so blown away by what they did, right? So if you look at like a Ford F-150, right? A Ford F-150 is about 7% different than a Chevy Silverado, and it's about 8% different than a Ram, right? The big three have just been following each other. Toyota's trying to play catch up. These guys found a white space. They're like, wait a second, we could take trucks back to the size they were in like the 60s. And it's not a small truck. It still has capability. It can tow 11,000 pounds, all that stuff. We can get a good size that's good for, people that, live in cities. And then they just went crazy. This thing is, you know, 835 horsepower, 908 pound-feet of torque. Each wheel has its own motor, so you can get rid of, like, differentials and all that kind of nonsense because just, you know, one motor spins one wheel. It's all computer-controlled. It's on air suspension. So right now, I just, for photos, I popped it up to 13 inches of ground clearance. It can go as high as 15. It can drop to the floor at 9.5 inches, which is still like a Subaru, you know, Outback Wilderness is about 9.5 inches. I think that's like 9.8, but same thing.
What is the color?
It's called Compass Yellow. The interior is Forest Edge. I like to call it day old guacamole. The colorway, the yellow over green, is they refer to it as spinach omelet. I'm the first, I believe, first customer to buy that color combo.
Did you get special treatment?
The only thing special
did
I got...
Did you get moved up the list?
The only thing special I got, I ordered this, and I got it in early enough that I paid... This was an $85,000 truck, not a $105,000 truck. So I got
the... Is that where they're at now? They went up that high?
They jacked the price. Now, you can still... They have a new offering, which is 600 horsepower with two motors. It only has two electric motors, not four, mm-hmm. for the original price. And that's probably fine for most people. I wanted the four motors because I did a lot of off-roading in it. And it's literally brilliant off-road.
Will the rear passenger windows go all the way down?
No.
Yeah.
No, definitely not.
What I like about the design as I'm looking at it, if the listeners are going to look at this, the side design... The way that they put a line on the lower third of the doors, so the car, so it's not so slab sided. They managed to reduce with a clever molding of the side doors, reduce the mass of the side, and actually with the window treatment and the way it all goes, it makes it almost look sporty for something that big.
Well, what's crazy though is that it is sporty. Like the so it's got air suspension, but the dampers are the cross-linked hydraulic dampers, the exact same supplier as McLaren, the expensive McLarens. So when you drive it in anger, like it really handles well. You know, it's an incredible product.
I'm baffled at the weight. I really
what
wonder
is the weight? What is
it's 7,200 pounds.
Wow.
That's a, and then.
So like, but real quick, like a Ram TRX is around 6,700, 6,800. So it's heavier, but it's also like a second quicker to 60 than the former quickest truck the world's ever seen.
And that is?
The Ram TRX.
No, the time.
Oh, sorry. On these tires, 3.2. These are the off-road tires. If you get the street tires, it's 3.1 with our Motor Trend.
That's fast.
You know what's going to happen ridiculous. Out there on the roadways? What could happen? What
carnage.
It's going to. It could be caught with that weight and that speed.
But let me ask you this though: like, you know, a full size, like, you know, a real full size, like the heavy duty diesel Rams, Fords, and Chevys that make 1,000 pound feet of torque that weigh 9,000 pounds. Like, they're out there. They've been out there for decades.
They're not going this fast.
No, but they're not, you know, that's just a straight acceleration.
I agree. Heavy trucks on the roadways are dangerous. That's why they have different rules for trucks. But this is going to be under the rules of a passenger vehicle.
No, it's. I mean, it's a truck. It's a truck by all accounts. Like, you know, you don't have to crash test it. It's a piece of farm equipment for tax reasons. Yeah. So, no, I'm in love with it.
Isn't that crazy?
It is crazy. Well, G-Wagon.
You don't have to crash test it. And everything else you do, but this thing that you're going to use on the road in the exact same way.
This is why I make a lot of money, say, for example, off of those Razor off-road vehicles
that kill
people and maim them.
Yeah.
By the way, listeners, those things aren't safe.
Really?
Just remember,
if you want to lose an arm, they're great.
Yeah, because there's no netting, there's no barrier to keep your arm. So when it rolls over, you put your arm out or it goes out and then it gets chopped off.
Yeah, that's the best way.
And then you call me laughing. Hey.
It's just shocking to me.
Six chopped off arms. I'm going to get the new GT4 RS with the money. Look at the picture of the arm over there, cutting a palm tree. That's the PTS. Why are you laughing, Zuckerman? Yeah. I got the arm right here. I'm gonna preserve it in amber.
Serious. You know, one of their instructions was to refrain from the reflex of putting your arm out as you're rolling over, right, which is really...
Everybody does it.
You're going to tell somebody, instead of making a safe product, refrain from your reflex. How about refrain from reflexively breathing?
So that's what, you know, remember when Leno rolled?
And they had the video and the camera in there. Yeah. I was so impressed that he pulled his arms in, that he knew what he was doing.
Experience.
Yeah, yeah. But it was cool.
Let me ask you a real quick question. So what's the difference, though, if you lose an arm rolling in one of those versus a motorcycle where you're going to lose an arm?
Let me ask you a question. What's more valuable, losing an arm or losing a leg? That's a better question.
Well, that is a better question.
Which makes more money
for you?
You're
absolutely right. You're absolutely right. It's much better.
They're both really good. They're big ticket items.
What about
that's a big ticket item also.
Do you have a chart with what's most valuable and what's least valuable? Like toes and ears versus arms and testes and...
There's no chart. Okay,
Could you create a chart of value?
Could you create a chart of what's funny? Is there a formula for what's funny?
Yeah, I could. I would put pants right up to the top of that chart.
Pants.
It's a funny word. You must have some idea. I mean, an approximation.
Of course. And
for your lawyers who aren't so bright, maybe you could have the chart. You could just say, just focus on these.
And then, maybe we could have like a Hitler moment. I'm down in the bunker screaming at my people like, you idiots. You idiots. Don't you understand?
A hand is worth more than a foot. 2 feet equals one hand.
How did he work Hitler into that? I'm still confused.
The bunker scene.
I know what that is, but we were talking about disembodied body parts. Hitler, always on the right in the tip of your tongue.
It's in my third eye.
It is.
It's in my aura.
The other day, you referred to his Hitler studies. I was like, what are you talking about?
He's got Hitler stuck in his chakra.
You're still studying Hitler?
Of course.
Always, daily.
Or don't you understand this?
He's not really Jewish.
Explain it to me. I mean, I know what happened. Don't explain that. But why the continued study all these years later?
Spike, what happened?
Because a serious man can't think of anything else. Or a serious Jew cannot think of anything else.
You cannot think of it. And you must continue to study in hopes of learning
more
about
the existential threat.
And why?
And what if your studies taught you at this point?
We're going to have to go into this in private. But it's a fascination. Why? It's like, why does he hate me so much? Why? Why? And why? And why? Why me?
Are you hoping at one point you will find the answer? There it is. There it is.
Why?
That's why I found out. Well, let's talk about every plane instead of Hitler.
Every Hitler. Let's talk about every Hitler.
I'm hungry.
Boy, Hitler talk.
Ask me another bagel.
That's funny, Johnny. Boy, Hitler talk makes me hungry. That's why I use every plate. Dinner is unavoidable, and it's that something we plan around almost every day when you think about the time that goes into deciding what to eat, shopping, or why Hitler hates you.
Well, we could talk about poop at dinner.
It can really add up. And sure, alternatives like takeout and delivery are convenient, but they can quickly burn a hole in your wallet. Enter every plate, America's best value meal, one of my favorite sponsors. Be nice to them. As the easiest way to eat affordably, every plate offers delicious dinners that won't break the bank. Plus, we have a discount for you that we'll get to in a minute. Every plate's quality ingredients come carefully packed and pre-portioned, preventing you from buying things you end up using once and never be shoved back in the fridge. That's true. We use everything in the boxes when they come. Everything. We got an extra box the other day.
Oh,
extra
and?
Box. And our friends, one of our friends had COVID, two of the family members. So we took the box over. They flipped out. There it was. She goes, oh my God, I can't go to the supermarket. Here's everything. It's in every plate.
Problem solved.
That's your ad, every plate. And there you guys go. have to use...
Extra box by every plate.
Yeah. No, we dropped it off and they called up and I said, this is one of my sponsors. What do you think? And she was like, it was awesome.
Wow.
It was awesome. I didn't have to do anything. It was all there, including the rest.
And you looked like a hero.
Technically, my wife looked like a hero, but I suggested it, and she executed it. Try every plate for just $1.79 per meal, going to everyplate.com and entering the code SPIKE179. This is a tricky code. And I thought somewhere in the internet, in our followers, someone was creating a link. Maybe it's Will, our producer, and this listener, where all the codes are going to be on this link, and I'll put it somewhere. Get started with every plate for just $1.79 per meal, going to everyplate.com and entering code SPIKE179. Spike179, everyplate.com. That's $104 value just for free. And I have Every Plate codes for you guys if you would like the boxes delivered to your homes.
Yes.
I have. I'm sitting on one right now, Johnny. Do you want right, that?
I will.
Would you
take
like
it.
Me to send it? My family's taken off for a little while for summer. And
yeah,
I'm
after
busy.
Pikes. When I'm back from Pikes, we'll.
Work of this movie. You pick the little
if you're
date.
Back.
You pick the date on the calendar like anybody, and they deliver it. So
love
you just
it.
Pick the date you want it to come in, and then you have it for that week.
Love it.
Boy, there's so much more to talk about.
Let's talk.
Well, we were right on something else. Porsche, but here, did you read about this? Porsche's plan has to pay $80 million to resolve fuel economy claims on U.S. vehicles.
No, I
know
not
anything about this cheap. Story. Volkswagen AG and its Porsche AG unit have agreed to a class action settlement worth at least $80 million to resolve claims that it skewed emissions and fuel economy data on 500,000 Porsche vehicles in the United States.
What years?
This settlement filed in the U.S. District Court, San Francisco, must be approved by a federal judge. It covers, and this is why I thought I would bring it up to our listeners here, because it covers some of them, vehicles from 2005 to 2020 model year Porsche vehicles after owners accused the automaker of physically altering test vehicles that affected emissions and fuel economy results. Owners of eligible vehicles will receive payments of $250 woo-hoo. To $1,100. Take that for your malfeasance, Porsche.
Wow, they can't get away from doing stuff like this.
If you have a 2005, 2020 Porsche, somewhere in the middle there, you should check into it. You should look into it. You might have some money coming.
I'm looking at about three of them right behind you.
Yeah, look
you,
at Zuckerman.
You
know. You're gonna get some cash.
My God, do you know how many Porsches I bought in that time period?
Yeah,
70. We bought
70. Right. Well, it doesn't say which ones that they cooked the books on, but
I happen to think that there's always some fudging for all of the manufacturers. Why fudging. Wouldn't
but
there
but
be
Volkswagen seems to be unable to get out to, like, to stop doing this. It seems like it's like just a corporate policy is like screw American laws, you know.
It says the document showed fuel economy may have been 1 to 2 miles per gallon lower than listed on the vehicle.
Oops.
That doesn't seem oops. That bad.
But if
does
that's
it?
Well, but if that
there,
is
there
true
are rules, you have to follow the rules. I mean, and they know this. It's not like, you know what I mean? It's not like they were surprised by this. This has been in place since the Clean Air Act, you know, since 73 or whatever.
Volkswagen is also going to pay $250 to owners of Porsche vehicles with Sport Plus driving mode that exceeded emission limits when driven in that mode.
Oh, well, I mean, okay, that one's a little, come on.
This may sound.
What and then look, to get the money, you have to, you'll get your money when you complete emissions compliant repair software updates that will reduce the vehicle's emissions. So.
Right. And so what happens here, and I have to tell you, $80 million is not a lot of money.
It's not.
For one of
for,
these.
For
settings.
Porsche, yeah, yeah, no.
And a lot of this money is not going to go to any end users.
Well, but they're saying it is. That's what surprises me about it.
No, it's saying that you have to do something. So,
right.
No, it says owners of eligible vehicles will receive payments of $250 to $1,100.
Once they update the software.
Once they update the software. How am I going to update the software in the cars that I purchased that I no longer own?
Yeah, you're not eligible.
So there's always there's tricky, rubs, tricky. And then these leftover monies where they get distributed is always another question.
Ooh, crafty.
Yes,
crafty.
Money can be sent places that it was never intended to
so
go.
So what happens to the money then? The lawyers
depends
just
what they write,
up?
You know, or it depends what's written into the settlement agreement. Where unclaimed money goes.
Do you think any will go to that horribly backfiring Electrify America project?
Probably.
That's what
like
I was going to ask
you.
You
could use the money.
What? So I saw that, Johnny, I saw that post. And again, I was a little confused. I'm not following you that as closely. But it looked like, what is Electrify America? Is that the United States deciding to put a charging network up?
No. part of the $80 billion settlement that Volkswagen had to pay was they would establish a company called Electrify America. I don't know all the details, but I know Volkswagen funded this company. Okay. And so they have chargers, and they put chargers, there's one a mile from my house, right? And it's, you know, it's 150 kilowatt hour.
They had to create a whole company.
Yes.
And Electrify America.
Yeah, but they really don't care about it because it's terrible.
But wait, so they did that, and yeah. Would they profit from that, or they just had to donate this?
I don't know.
It's not free, obviously. It's not free electricity.
It's way expensive. It's
okay, so they create this charging station network with how many charging stations?
Oh, I don't know. A lot. I mean,
many, many, many across the United States.
Yes.
You took your new Rivian there?
I did.
And?
First charge. I plugged it in. And I plugged it in four times, and it failed four times in a row. And then I got an
email. Failing being it wouldn't charge.
It says, it just said charging canceled or something like that. And right, I actually got an email from them saying that for my 2 second charging session, they literally emailed me this, they're not going to charge me for the 2 seconds that it charged.
Thank you.
Yeah, 2 seconds, seconds. So then I said, God damn it. And I had Richard with me, who's like, Daddy, this is boring, you know, like over and over. I call and I go, look, I go, I'm already agitated. Every time I use EA, I wind up calling. I don't know why you can't just make this work. We go through the whole thing. And I should say, on my app on my phone, it shows me that I have $97 in that they've taken off of a credit card that they've charged me. And I have $97 in my account. And it costs about $35 to charge, right? So I have the money.
$35, really?
It's expensive if you use EA. It's like 43 cents a kilowatt hour, yeah.
That's expensive.
It's very expensive, yeah. It's at the grocery store, though, so you shop, you come out, and it's charged. That's the, should be the beauty.
That's the premise.
I mean, we're charging our Tesla for about $14 charge.
At home, it's super cheap.
No, on the Tesla network.
Tesla's way better, yeah. Tesla's way better. EA's, anyhow, get on the phone with the guy, da-da-da-da-da. A couple weeks ago, I got a call from the bank like, oh, hey, did you try and buy $700 worth of sneakers? Like,
yeah, no. Your card was stolen. The card they were using wasn't working.
So then
they needed a new card.
So the guy's like, that's the problem. And I go, you know, it's funny, though. Before I called you, I tried to use my new credit card many times and it wouldn't work. And he's like, well, let's try this, right? So then he's like, okay, I think, and of course, he reboots the machine, the whole thing. And then he starts, and I normally wouldn't do this to the poor guy, but I was so pissed off. He goes, I just want to tell you, I really appreciate the way you're talking to your child. Like, I really think, I really think you sound like a great father.
Oh, Jesus.
And I really like the language you're using.
This is, you're at a gas station. You're just charging up here.
And I'm like,
and this guy's complimenting your parenting skills instead of doing his job.
And I go, that's great. But listen, I really wish your shit would just work. You know, so I didn't have to call you, so you'd listen to me talking to my kid for 20 minutes. And then he says, you have to admit that in this instance, it's your fault. And then I lost my mind. Then I was like, my fault?
Wow.
You have 97 of my dollars on my app that you're not paying me interest on, that's off my credit. You know, but I went crazy.
Electrify America with anger.
And then I get an email, and then stop charging. I get another email for 4 seconds. They doubled it. It charged for 4 seconds. They're not going to charge me for my 4 second charge.
EA is enrage America.
So then,
enrage America.
Then I just backed the truck out of the spot, and I'm walking in, and there's a guy that had a Porsche Taycan. He's a doctor. He comes walking out. He's in his scrubs, and he's like, I'm like looking at him. He's looking at me, and he could tell I was angry. He goes, it just stopped charging after 10 minutes. He goes, I needed to charge. Like, I got a thing on my phone. It just turned off for no reason. I go, yeah, they're horrible. And then as I come out of the grocery store, there's a woman there on the phone with EA with her new Polestar 2, same charger I was at, couldn't get it to work. And the guy's like telling me it's my fault.
So why not go to ChargePoint chargers and just give up on these dopes?
Just because I had to go to the grocery store. Right. I just had to go to the grocery store.
Right.
So, but then I got my home charger. I could go on for an hour here. Installed yesterday, and the electrician got there at 7, and by the time he was done at 9 installing it, solid red light, contact Rivian, I'm on hold, unusual high call volume, electrician leaves, they get back to me, they're like, oh, we need your electrician there. I'm like, well, he's not on call, like, you know.
They installed the charger wrong.
My electrician, no, installed it right, because I got him to come back on his lunch hour, and he takes it apart again, and he's volt testing it, and we're taking pictures of everything and sending it to Rivian, and they're like, okay, well, I guess it's a bad unit. We'll send you a new one. And I'm like, oh, hey, boy. Assholes, I'm leaving on Sunday. Like, I don't want my wife to have to deal with Electrify America. You know, like.
She doesn't. She can go to ChargePoint.
Well.
What kind of charger did you buy for a home charger?
It was a Rivian one that they mailed me.
Oh.
But I think I paid for it. And I think part of the deal when I initially put the deposit down on the truck was, they're going to come and install it. And then they just switched it to like, no, we're not going to. So I paid my electrician. And then they're like, okay, we're going to mail you a new one. And I go, great. Where do I send the bill when I have to get my electrician back to reinstall what he did properly because of your broken unit?
Oh,
I paid him $450 for that.
Now Lieberman's hot.
Oh, hot.
But you're in the middle of what we call the beta test, the electric car beta test.
You're the
but
second
why
person.
Why not just get, I mean, a charge point. I bought a charge point charger. They put it in. Everything was fine. It's been working ever since. It charges Teslas. It charges any electric press car I get.
The Rivian charger will charge everything once it's working. I guess they mailed me a bad unit, but it was just the way the cause, instead of like, oh my God, we're sorry this happened to you. Here's how we'll fix it. They're like, get your electrician back. And I'm like, I just paid him $450 and I verified via photographs with you on the phone.
Calm down.
That he did everything right. Oh, I was so steamed.
You should be. You have every right to be steamed.
I lost every hour of the day yesterday.
Yep. But you still love your Rivian.
The truck is perfect. The everything else.
No, but it's what we've been saying about these electric car companies, which is why you keep coming back to Tesla. They're ahead of everybody, and the rest of them are catching up.
And
right
if
now.
I know you hate my stories, but if I told you about the experience picking this thing up, you'd shoot it.
I don't want to hear any more complaining. Thank you. You're stressing me out.
Yeah.
And my week has been all problems. And now I just want to chill.
Yeah, it's a great truck.
That's why we make money, Ferris, and we basically solve problems.
I'm in a Zuckerman pattern right now. Zuckerman and I talked to each other at the end of the day, and at the end of the week yesterday we were both like, I go, I can't think straight. And he goes, yeah, welcome to my world. I'm going home to eat. What did you get? Thai food.
Yeah.
Then watch it and watch TV. And that's all I could do too.
That's all I do anyway.
Couldn't work.
Yeah, I got nothing
Death
beyond.
Instinct, the Mesrin story, the Jacques Mesrin story, the French gangster.
Is it
true
good?
Story. Fantastic.
Let me do collecting cars here.
Crime.
CollectingCars.com. Our friends Chris Harris, Ed Lovett have some great cars live for bids right now. You've got an 88 Autocraft MK4 Cobra. Pull up some collecting cars right now on your phone here. This is last week's copy. Maybe there's some good stuff on there right now.
I'm on it.
See what you can find. Let me see what else they put up here. Oh, yeah. They put, again, this 1985 Renault 5 Turbo 2 Series 8221 Group B Homologation Special. An amazing car.
That's pretty cool.
But they have such great stuff every day.
Well, there's another 81 Audi UR Quattro for only 40,000 British pounds. All kinds of Porsches.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. Wow. That's like Zuckerman's car. That's amazing. Yellow and white and red on top. Lots of delicious Porsches.
Sadly, that Zuckerman's car is way better than that. Different type of car.
2004 Ariel Atom. Look at this.
550 now we're Maranello.
A 1990 Golf GTI MK2. Wow. Caterham. They've got so much cool stuff at CollectingCars.com. Look at Ferrari toolkit with a little attaché. Just go there, collectingcars.com. I don't even have to give you, just go there, light up a cigar, and look at some cool stuff, and maybe even buy some.
Ooh, 65 Mercury Monterey Marauder.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
For right? No money, for 10,000 pounds.
Yeah, like, I'm telling you, now is the moment to maybe dive in and buy some cars. I get a feeling.
Wait a month.
Yeah, wait a month. Well, where's the Dow at? Like, where did it close? Oh, 29.
It went under 30. It's bad, yeah.
And when that happens, sometimes people dive into assets, but I get the feeling right now everybody's sitting tight. Like I said a few months back, the everything bubble is going to pop. I don't believe it's going to crash. I think everybody's coming back to earth. Crypto just came back to earth. A lot of companies we know about just came back. Everybody thinks coming back. The car market was overheated. The watch market was overheated.
And that's what happens.
And that's an opportunity soon.
Even CJ Wilson, of all people, posted some meme and it was like, yeah, maybe $3.4 million for a digital painting of a monkey was an indication that stuff was off the rails.
CJ Wilson, our friend,
yeah.
Who was,
he's Mr.
CJ. Hello, CJ.
Hey. Big proponent of cryptocurrency.
He likes the Bitcoin.
He's putting on an Instagram story all the time. And
how much money he was making.
None of us knew what he was talking about, but he's got Porsche in Fresno. And he's a great asset of ours. He gets great stuff because he's CJ. He used to pitch for the Angels.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just sent one of my neighbors up there. She happened to be looking at a car all the way down in Brentwood at one of his cars, and CJ took care of her. So
we did a podcast.
There's a free plug for CJ. Yeah.
We did a podcast with him on Bill's porch years ago. You know, he was a pitcher for the Angels, for the Texas Rangers, and I said, could you take that muffin and throw it about 200 feet and hit that lady in the head? And he looked, and he goes, oh, yeah, no problem.
Finger on the pulse, sucker. Yes. Finger on the pulse.
I was just talking to him about my kids about him, because he has that great moment that you hear about where he was playing baseball as a kid and his coach said to him, he took him aside, he said, this isn't your game. This isn't what you're meant to do. And he went home that summer and bought a book on pitching and the psychology of pitching and preparing yourself mentally for pitching. And when he came back in the fall, he was CJ Wilson. He didn't walk away. Isn't that an amazing story? I love those stories.
That story.
It was somebody who had said something about, oh, this coach knows. He can tell right away if these kids are going to do great in college. And I went, let me tell you a story about a guy named CJ Wilson.
The coach said
that to him. And then he was in the World Series.
Do you have to have that moment to be special?
No.
Well, he explained there.
Maybe.
He explained that there's some athletes, for example, he called them the surfers. Like, they just made everything look easy. It just came naturally to them. Yeah, yeah.
But I had that moment as a writer, but it didn't drive me. I mean, I don't know. I was already on this path, and I was a bartender, and I went, oh, I'm going to be a writer, and I'm going to write on that show, and I don't even know how I'm going to do it. And a friend of mine just said, you don't even know how to type, right? And it didn't, and he was right. And I go, I know, it doesn't make sense, but I still went and did it. But it sounds like with the CJ story, it did motivate him. It did got him mad, and he did go home.
There's inflection points. As a very new lawyer, I was kind of phoning it in, and I was on the precipice of messing up a case, and an older lawyer looked at me very sternly and said, Zuckerman, this is malpractice. You need to learn to think with more intensity. And it really hit home that I needed to up my game considerably if I really wanted to do this.
Was this when you sent the fish to Costco? Was it that move?
No, but that was, not only was I going to, I had to back up my,
Can you tell that story? Have you told the story of the fish? I've told it.
But that was it. But I needed to back up my bravado and aggressiveness with real lawyering.
It is the first act of Zuckerman's style of a lawyer. When a guy gets a wormy fish, and Zuckerman decides to send the fish right to the lawyer at Costco, worms and all. That's Zuckerman's lawyering style. Hey, and very quickly got a settlement.
Yeah.
Right? Very quickly got a settlement.
I mean, the reason I asked that question was, you know, when I worked at Edmunds for 4.5 days, and that's another story, but at the interview for it, I remember they were like, you know, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Which is a question I hate. And I said, well, you know, I'd like to be like a known person in this industry, kind of like a Dan Neal or a Jamie Kipman. And the two guys interviewing me fucking laughed at me. They looked at each other.
We still laugh at you.
But they fucking laughed at me. And I remember I was like, these motherfuckers, I'm going to show them. I'm going to show them.
And the narrator says, but Johnny never did show them.
I think I did show them.
They're still laughing.
He drove off the edge at Pike's Peak, beard aflame, and ended his career.
So come in and
finish the
big glasses.
Thanks for the support, guys.
Here's one to Johnny.
One to Johnny.
That's right.
And then hired Reggie Watts to replace him. Something they had done before the race had even begun. Reggie was great last week, by the way. It was so much fun having here.
Yeah, he's
great. Adopting him into the Spikes Car Radio group.
I love it. I love it.
And he likes being here. And meanwhile, he was asking Bill Clinton questions. Did you see that?
Bill Clinton.
Bill Clinton.
Bill Clinton. Was on
Corden. Was on Corden.
Oh, I didn't see that. And, oh, he was in my neighborhood, too, I learned last night.
And Reggie had the opportunity to ask questions. And he asked a very good question. Well put. Astute.
What
was
did he
fantastic.
Ask?
About aliens.
Aliens.
But when Obama was on, you know what he asked?
Hold on. What you, well put, dude. Really good question. About what? Aliens.
And then, and then about Area 51 and when you became president. Basically, the premise was, Bill, when you became president.
I love
president,
what they expect. Yeah, the president. Well, let me just tell you now what's going on.
But when Obama was on,
what did he say?
Reggie asked him about aliens. He asked him the same question.
Well, yes. And then
that's Clinton funny. Says, that's comedy, though.
Clinton basically said he was serious that when he became president, he wanted to know what the hell was in Area 51.
Right.
And he sent Sandy Berger over there to check it out.
And
well, he wouldn't say what they found.
He couldn't say what he found, but he didn't seem to think there was.
So was there a moment? I haven't seen the clip. Was there a moment? Where he just went, there was something there?
No.
He didn't say there was something there, but it's a great little interview.
But Corden asked him, and then he grabbed Corden's hand and said, like, if I told you that, you'd be killed or something.
That's the classic president
but
joke.
It was Bill's still so affable, and it was a great moment between the three of them.
He was, remember I said there was somebody going up the street. I thought it was Biden, but apparently he was hanging over with the vice president right in the hood.
Mm.
We got the gang right there, and people are still breaking into my trucks. Every day. And I told you what security said, right? It's just your house. It's just you. I said, it must be going on a lot in the street, right? He goes, nope, it's just you, actually. And no lie, he said that.
Just because you have that turnaround?
No, I don't know.
I don't.
It's because I'm not locking my car because I'm an idiot.
Oh,
I got to lock my car.
I don't believe
I looked out the window this morning and I left it unlocked again. I don't leave anything in it, but I got to learn how to lock my car.
The corporate line of his security companies is just you, because if they say through the neighborhood, why are we paying you then?
So they just
blame you. It's your fault.
I got a great relationship with these guys. They tell me everything that's going on. That the most interesting fun thing that goes on in the neighborhood is the neighborhood wife circuit of like child kidnapping or the home invasion. You hear these stories. A lot of the moms on the west side there, They read something and these little wives' tales get passed along. There was a moment where I had two of Erica's friends and our friends in the driveway, and they said, did you hear about the kid getting kidnapped? The human traffickers, they're trying to take our kids, and they tattoo them, and they blah, 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 and they take them down, and that's the end. They tell them that worthy, and I'm like, oh, my God. And I was horrified at this. What street? And they had the street down. And I called up my security team. They go, and the guy just went, oh, God. He goes, this story has been traveling on the west side of L.A. for 10 years. He goes, let me guess. It's Napoli, right? I go, yeah. He goes, what, 10 years ago, because I called, these are all former LAPD. He goes, I called the guy 10 years ago, a construction worker in a van almost hit a kid on a skateboard and the kid went, fuck you. And the guy came out of the van and tried to beat him up. He goes, 10 years ago, they had an argument in a van over a skateboard and it turned into this story.
That refuses to die.
And there was another one. It was like, there was a huge home invasion last night. That's what was going on down the end of the street. You call them up and they go, don't listen to these people. It was an Uber driver arguing with a passenger that don't even live in the neighborhood.
Right.
And the police came by and just said, move along.
Okay. But so I've got
that
an
turned
idea.
Into a home invasion.
Truth just doesn't even matter.
So then these guys must know who's up to hanky panky.
Oh, definitely.
And then.
Oh, definitely. You know who really does? I'll tell you who really does in my hood, the UPS guys and the mailmen. They know everything.
So let's get them to feed us the information.
What are you, John Ashcroft?
Well, we're going to get, we can get a little thing going here.
No, Johnny.
We can keep things quiet for you. Follow me?
Yeah, but I mean.
My UPS guy said once, he goes, oh, God, you know, I love this. I love coming by and saying, hi, you're so nice. And I said, well, what does that mean? Are people mean to you? And then he started chit-chatting. He started telling me some stories. I'm like, oh, really? Hmm. And it's not
it's also the maids. There's some good maid stories going on. The maids know everything.
They know everything, and they're living a different world.
This sounds like a TV show.
The maids know it all. It would be a good show.
Maids know all.
They really do.
West Side Maids.
And there are people in my neighborhood that have like dog walkers, and they're in the house, and they talk, and they so the dog walkers all get together at 10 and walk the dogs together, and they all talk.
About the hanky-panky.
Are they? They're all schnooping. There's a lot of schnooping.
Most of the real hanky-panky is going on in the Palisades, in that neighborhood business partner John used to live in, right?
I can see that. That's isolated.
A high level of trust fund families, and you know, from brands that you all know, and you know, no jobs.
Huntington Palisades, hanky panky.
No jobs, lots of money.
Yeah,
lots of alcohol.
Yeah,
drugs. Lots of
drugas.
Why is the light going on in the backyard at 4 a.m. in the pool? And oh my God, they're naked together. And oh my God, isn't he famous?
Yes.
And isn't that so-and-so's wife?
That sounds fun.
Good stuff. Yeah.
Now let's monetize it.
Yes.
but you know, the whole thing with how people are getting followed home and getting their watches and cars stolen and everything.
Yeah,
they deserve it.
So my buddy in Jacksonville, Florida, is like, you know, I put a picture of a watch up. He's like, how could you even do that? You're advertising. And I go, come on. It's like, it happened to two guys.
It happened to two guys.
Yeah. And then he's like, you know, LA's a hellhole. So I just like I Google
compared to Florida.
I Google murder stats. Jacksonville is three times the homicide rate of LA.
It's completely like, fake.
It's a tenth the population.
There is such a big fake crime narrative going on in Los Angeles right now. And it is totally fake.
It's crazy.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I know you're going, oh, will someone open up your car door? That's been happening for 30 years in every major city I live in.
And
they stole a paperclip. The majority of our time is sitting in beautiful sunshine, playing tennis, walking around, leaving your doors unlocked, and nothing happens.
Yeah.
Today is going to be a gorgeous day. Like it every is. Day is a gorgeous day. And this crime narrative is being sold to you is a lie.
Yeah. But you can look up the stats and it still didn't bother. He's like, no, that's bullshit. And I'm like, okay.
Okay.
There we go.
Enjoy
Jacksonville.
No, there's real life, and then there's media interpretation of real life.
Yeah.
And they're two very, very different things.
Yeah, it really is true.
That's the end of our show.
Okay.
Congratulations on your Rivian, Johnny.
Thank you.
The race is... Will we talk to you before the race?
No.
That's no, it.
Let's say goodbye tomorrow. For real.
Yeah.
Well. Goodbye. Yeah. Goodbye. It's been all right. You.
It's been nice. No. You like Zuckerman more than me.
Like a skosh. You know?
I have raised a lot of money for you.
Yeah. Oh yeah. He helped though. That head of his.
Yeah. That's true. That's true. Well, we wish you the best.
Thanks.
And Godspeed.
Thanks.
Zuckerman, do you want to say anything?
Do or die, it's all the same to us.
I like how you said, though, like, you know, if you do die, there's some money in it.
How is any of this going to be recorded? Can we watch any of it?
Yes, I paid $1,500 to have some helicopters follow me around the mountain. And there's going to be a live broadcast, so Mobile One on their Facebook page, of all places, they will be live broadcasting the entire race. I think they have like 10 cameras set up. I have a couple GoPros, I believe.
So we can watch it.
You can watch it live, I think, is Mobile One's Facebook page.
Mobile One. Facebook page.
Yeah.
Sunday June 26th.
Yeah.
At what time?
I'm going to say it starts at like 6 a.m. Pacific time, 7 a.m. Mountain time, but it might be an hour after that. I'm not 100% sure.
Incredible.
I don't know for sure.
There it is.
Yeah.
We wish you luck. And maybe we'll see you next time on Spike's Car Radio.
Or Jody. Reggie will just be here permanently.
Or we'll have Reggie sit in and we'll pretend to be sad that you're gone. Goodbye, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Spike's Car Radio, brought to you by Hangar 56. Listen to new episodes every Wednesday, and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up. to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.